Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
We are live. It is National Signing Day, and this is 11 Personnel presented to you by Monticello Bank. I'm Nick Roush with Adam Luckett. Been a crazy day. Been trying to figure out technology. It's just one of the many, many hiccups. That signing day, Luckett, crazy stuff happens. Sometimes the fax machine runs out of toner. You got to power through.
We are not an IT department. We're just football guys. But somehow, some way, we are live right now. So, hi. I guess we're going to talk some ball today.
I appreciated that when Stoops was describing Cutter Bowley. He's a football guy. Damn right he is. He's one of us. And you know who else is one of us, Mr. Logan?
Who's that?
It's Monticello Bank.
That's right.
That's where people matter. They've been doing this for so many years, I can hardly even count. Like, hardly Gilmore. Hardly knew him. Monticello Bank, they've got 21 branches, 14 different counties, conveniently located across the Commonwealth. They've been in business for a long time because that's where people matter. They're going to put the numbers on your side. Top-notch quality customer service, best rates available. Check them out today. Member FDIC, equal housing lender, Monticello Bank, where people matter. Check them out, nbcbank.com. Look it. Cats got 27 new players today. Six from the portal, 21 from the high school ranks. We're going to talk about most of them. I'm not going to say all. It's kind of boring just to rattle through them all. So I think we start with a big surprise, though. Cats had a nice little pop. With pop, Jamin Dumas Johnson.
Yeah.
He's the old head in the room. He looks like he's 30 years old. That's not why they call him Pop. He's been called Pop by his mother for a long time. I think it was because of the Pop cereal commercial. Got to have my Pops. Which, do you think they still make Pops?
I mean, Pop is a great name for a linebacker, if we're being honest.
Oh, he's got the pop.
You know, that's just it's an awesome name. Just take out the player. We'll get to the player in a minute. But the Dumas Walker name. I mean,
Dumas Johnson.
Like, Dumas Walker, Dumas Johnson, if they're not playing that after every big play at Kroger Field, if he makes a big play in a road game and the Kentucky crowd is not serenading that song, like, what are we even doing here? Like, why are we even here? So that in and of itself is going to be fun. The Kentucky Headhunter nickname is going around.
Oh, that's right now. Perfect. It's so perfect. And he's like,
we could all have slaw burgers in the crowd. Like, concession stand needs to sell slaw burgers now. And so that's just where we're at. That alone makes it fun.
And it's also fun when you're like, oh, no, you lost Trevin. That's bad. Oh, wait, here's an All-American who played a national championship game.
Timing is everything in life.
Yep.
Nice timing here by the Kentucky football program. Nick, he's in the portal just because Georgia is
Georgia.
The you know what. So, like, he's just there because they've just got an assembly line rolling right now. He essentially lost his job because he got hurt.
Yeah.
C.J. Allen's a top 100 freshman last year. Steps in, plays well. Georgia's going to want to play him, so they don't want to lose C.J. Allen since they're going to have him for a couple more years. So Jamin Dumas Johnson does want to fight for a spot, wants to be a starter, wants to get snaps. He's on the move. I wrote about this today at KSR Plus. Thanks to all of you all who joined us here this week. Hope to keep there. We've got a lot more stuff coming, and it's going to be a fun offseason. We're going to keep it fun over there. But basically, we've seen them on offense at star power, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will Levis, Wandell Robinson, Ray Davis. That's two all-SEC players, three draft picks.
Yep.
But we haven't really seen that on defense. We've seen Keijan Smith.
Jonquez Jones.
We've seen quality starters come in, but we haven't really seen them add stars, like big impact performance.
And some of that's because they're getting good high school players.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need to. But this is
the version of that. And it's needed, I think. They need some more star power on that defense. I think you bring him in, you team him with a Deion Walker. teaming with a Maxwell Harrison. That's three, I think, bona fide guys. When we go to Dallas for SEC Media Days, all three of those guys will be talked about. We will be asked about those three players.
Yeah.
And people will be talking about them, and they'll appear on all SEC teams. That gives Kentucky some more star power. I think Dumas Johnson, dude, he's just an all, he's a number one off-ball linebacker in the portal. He was an All-American. He's one of the better SEC starting linebackers in the league right now. Like, that is what you're getting on the team. And you're adding him in for Trevin Wallace. He's going to get next play next to De'Eric Jackson. And, Nick, I just look at it like this, dude. Like, trying to run on this group, good effing luck.
Yeah.
You know, that D-line is going to be filled with redshirt seniors, all guys who played 3 years in the league.
Deion Walker
might be the best. He's going to be one of the better interior defenders in the country. De'Eric Jackson was really good last year. He's a really good starting SEC linebacker. Jamin Dune Johnson's a really good starting linebacker. Like that's exciting, I think, for Kentucky, because you can make offenses one-dimensional. Now, the bad part is, can they stop the other part of the game?
Right.
Passing, we'll get into that later. But just overall, like, this is as good as a find you were going to have. Kentucky got him. Instant plug-and-play starter. He's going to be a draft pick, and he's going to be a good player for Kentucky. And some of the intangibles he's bringing. Leadership, was a team leader at Georgia. Communication in the middle of that defense. I think all of those are going to translate here, and Mark Stoops already talked about today, kind of bringing that winning culture with him.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we mentioned it just as the news broke while we were driving up, just like, this run defense is going to be pretty good. Now, him and DJ, they're both guys that, unlike Trevin, scraping to the outside, like the only way you're able to run on, like, they're going to attack the edges, but if you've got J.J. Weaver, who we still don't know if he's back, staying, going, what he's going to do, be really, like you said, really tough to run against this defense. So some excellent star power added on National Signing Day. He was not the only National Signing Day addition. Jalen Farmer, a guy they recruited out of high school, went to Florida for 2 years. He's joining the offensive line, and a big-bodied offensive guard. And then Cam Dooley was their high school commitment. So they got a couple big gets on signing day. They tried to pull off a coup and bring in a big-name tackle, Jonathan Daniels. That did not work out. He's remained committed to Florida State. But I think big picture-wise, when you're looking at this National Signing Day, you're pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. So addressing needs of the portal, getting star power with this high school class. You got a quarterback. You got top-flight talent on defense. Let's keep it with the defense for a little bit, Luckett, and just talk about some of the guys they got right now, because – there's, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about how, like, it's awfully hard to play as a freshman in the SEC. It's awfully hard as a freshman to play in the SEC. They got some freshmen that are going to play in the SEC this upcoming year. You've seen it happen more and more frequently. Now, they're rarely day one starters. I think Chris Westry was, and Derek Beatty played his way into it. That was more of an indictment on what they had at that position at the time. But even as of late, Alex Afari logged a ton of snaps in 2022, as did Keaton Wade, as did Deion Walker. There's some guys in here. Tyrion Nichols, dude's going to play. Like, he's a great cornerback from Cincinnati, really fast, really smart, really good between the ears. And then Quasheed Scott, dude is reckless with his body. Like, he's going to get some targeting penalties, and – you know what? Like, you just gonna have to live it. He throws his body around. He's an outstanding athlete. A great find by Chris Collins early in the process. And then these edge guys. I mean,
a lot of them.
They're good. And I thought, I didn't know what else was gonna come out of Vince Merrill and Mark Stoops' mouth when they were talking about Brian Robinson. My favorite was when they said that the parents thought he was an NFL player coming back to visit. Like, no, he's a recruit. B Rob's just another recruit.
Yeah, interesting thing with the edge players, even Devin Smith, Nick, and Antoine Smith are going to play off-ball linebacker here. They play edge for their high school teams.
Yeah.
Steven Souls, they're listed him as a inside linebacker. I had him as kind of a tweener.
Mm-hmm.
He played edge down there in East Tennessee. So they're just getting a lot of edge guys. I mean, to me, on a surface level, they're looking for athletes. They're looking to get faster. They're looking for some pass rush juice. So they're casting a wide net here, I believe. And they're going to play a little bit of the numbers game.
Yeah. Some of these guys got to turn out, right? Yeah. And that's, I think, big picture, too, when you look at it. There's a lot of – we've got 7 or 8 stars from the high school ranks. probably going to be ball players. One or two might not be what you think. And then when they're taking chances on guys, it's like we're investing in traits. And if half of these hit, then, like, that's great. And even if only a couple of them do, so be it. Like, that's why the portal's here.
Yeah, I definitely think there's some swings here.
Mm-hmm.
There's some developmental recruits that have some physical traits and high upside, but there's, you know, you're going to have to see that. You're going to need some development. I think you mentioned Brian Robinson, Nick, and it's very interesting to me because some of the notes I wrote down, he's a prototypical, I think, 4-3 defensive end.
Yeah.
And he's going to play for a 3-4 defense. So how do they use him? It's going to be very interesting to me. They have him listed as a defensive lineman.
What's his height and weight they got over there?
I believe it's 6'3", this is the old packet, but I believe it's right at 6'3", 6'4", 260.
Vince said, I think 6'5", 275. You know, you just give sprinkle a little more.
So, I think he's going to play. I think he's going to be in Amar Stewart's position.
He could strikes me as 5 technique on third downs as a freshman. Right? Like, 4 out of 5 technique, rushing off the tackle.
Yeah.
But also, he's got some juice where, like, maybe you do the Josh Pascal thing when he was a freshman, play him in the interior and let him rush.
Yeah, it's just an interesting fit for him in this defense.
Yeah.
So I'm just very interested to see how they utilize him moving forward.
I also found it striking that there was some stuff there. Like, people who were really invested saw what was happening when he switched schools, and his dad and the Austin Town Fitch coach right outside of Youngstown that got into it. He moves to Columbus for his senior year. And Vince was like, you know, there's some people, their dad's heavily involved, and they kind of run and hide from it. It's like, we love that. Bring it on. So I thought that aspect was interesting. Vince has known his dad for 20-some-odd years. He's known about Brian. So what was the line? His cousin or is his brother that coached him, like, trains quarterbacks? He was
his brother.
Yeah, his brother. His brother said, this guy's going to be a heck of a quarterback.
He's like 11 years old or something.
He was like, I told him, he's like, you're always right, but you're always wrong. Which is a great line. He was right. He was a ball player, just not a quarterback. And I cannot stop looking at this outlet that's right over my head. And it's just, it's really, like, I got to, like, try to get out of here to cover it up. It's just bugging me. I feel like I got something on my head. It's not there.
Yeah, I think you'll get it.
Yeah, we'll be fine here. But Brian Robinson, though, one other thing about him that I, like, you see all the tweets, right? The eating, the working out, and all that stuff. But, like, players post highlight videos. Like, this isn't a new thing. The baby face kid that we saw camping at Kentucky 2 summers ago, just looks like an entirely different person. And similar to Pascal, when he got here, like, man, this dude's he just keeps filling in. He's going to keep filling in. If he keeps eating them ham sandwiches and that French toast for breakfast, like, that guy, like,
yeah.
You wonder, like, how far can he go? His body's on, like, where's he going to be 2 years from now?
That's a big question. Just number one, watch his tape and watch the effort and strain he plays with. High floor player, Jess. He's going to be a good player. High floor. My question is, like, how much of his ceiling has he already reached?
Yeah.
Like, just because
his physical.
He's taken his training so seriously already.
Correct.
His dad's got him locked and loaded from a nutrition standpoint.
Daily routine.
Is this who he is? Like,
dude ain't staying up late, binge watching stuff and eating garbage.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's too many late nights playing 2K at the Robinson household.
What do you think the game is now? Like, we played a lot of.
I feel like 2K is still the game.
Did FIFA? FIFA got big when we were in college.
That was big when I feel like the youths still rock with 2K.
Okay. We also were big, just bust out the N64 and play Mario Kart and
now,
Smash Bros.
You know, Fortnite.
This was
the high schoolers now, Fortnite got real popular probably when they were, what, middle school-ish?
Oh, yeah. So they've, like, grown up with it.
They've grown up with Fortnite.
So which, by the way, if you want to feel old, like, I remember when Grand Theft Auto 3 came out, and it was just like, pew, 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 pew. Now they're on to 6, and that I couldn't tell if it was.
I remember when Charlie Strong got mad because all his players stayed up late with Call of Duty, so they practiced like crap.
But like the Grand Theft Auto, the trailer they had, I was like, is this which one? They're like, it looks like real Ford, and I'm like, which one's real and which one's the video game? Like it's
yeah, I remember a roommate in college getting Call of Duty and not going to sleep for 2 days.
Yeah. It's normal stuff. A lot of Mountain Dew, a lot of cans of tobacco, a lot of spit bottles. Ah, good times. I digress to the other edges because Jacob and Gerard Smith, ball players. Jacob had an off-season surgery, shoulder surgery. I've heard it was not a rotator cuff, which is much more serious. Probably be non-contact in the spring. While we're mentioning it, 18 early enrollees, if you include the transfer portal. So two-thirds of the 27 guys that they added will be on campus.
21 high schoolers.
Exactly. So most of the guys will be here early, including Smith twins, which Jacob strikes me as a great Sam Packer who just is disruptive as hell. And Gerard is one of those guys that will probably be underappreciated for what he does. Like, kind of how I feel about Ox sometimes, where it's like, that's a good ball player, but just the position doesn't, you know, like, it just doesn't, he's going to be more interior. So, like, there's going to be some difference-making that we don't see that shows up a lot. It sure as hell showed up a lot for the Redhounds this fall, though. Those were some, the two, it's hard to find two defensive guys take over the games the way that they took over games in high school football.
Yeah. Kentucky wants to be a 3-4 defense. I mean, they're kind of a rarity in this day and age that they play true 3-4, and they want to play it a lot. Jacob Smith is a perfect, I think, fit to kind of play Sam linebacker. I think like Jordan Wright's an easy comp to make for him. I think they're similar players. Gerard is a whole bunch of kick-ass, but they listed him at 6'4", 245, and that worries me a little. I didn't think he was that light. So, you really not. Now, I heard that at Corbin he played at 260. So, that's a lot better. But he's undersized a little bit where he's going to play, which I would think is field defensive end. I think there's some Josh Pascal vibes with him just with how he plays, some of his quickness, how he can strike, how he can play make, how he can kind of take over games. But he's going to need to get bigger. Because if he's undersized like that, then you've got a guy that maybe has to play Jack. And so that's something to watch. But I'm really high on Gerard Smith. I think he's going to play next year. I think he's going to play a big role for Kentucky. It's going to be hard to keep that guy off the field. And Stoops even pointed out how hard that dude plays. And I did notice on defense, Nick, in previous years when I've done this, kind of looked at the whole class, just the effort and the motor some of these guys play with – this is more than normal for a Kentucky class. Just like, oh, wow, that dude plays his ass off.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys. Brian Robinson, I talked about. The Smiths. Quasheed Scott is up there. That Steven Souls, I would put in that same kind of category.
Jason Patterson runs pissed off, right? Like, that's just – he's got his shoulders low. I think it goes back to – kind of what Soup said entering last offseason about the wanting to respond to adversity, and it didn't translate right away, but they certainly made they're not saying it out loud that they had culture problems, but they're kind of saying like we've got to get our kind of guys, right? Culture guys, and from the portal standpoint, multiple year guys. I think every portal guy they got now, Macklin probably is going to want to go after a year. Like, some of these guys are going to want to go right away, like Ray Davis. But all those guys have multiple years
outside
of eligibility.
Outside of the Georgia linebacker.
Yeah. But, like, they've put an emphasis on the intangibles in this class. And I don't – that's hard to – you don't see that on paper, right? But this feels like a good direction, particularly when – you know, you talk about the problems like wide receiver room. It's like, well, there's getting more receivers. How's this going to work? And so I think there's a lot to that.
Yeah.
That, like, we can't it's hard to hit you over the head with it and really stress its significance, but it is significant.
Well, you're fighting against the mercenary culture. I mean, it's really what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We're going to bring guys in. So how do you fight? How do you fight against that?
Add a little more me to the team instead of I.
Yes. So I think that as part of it. I mean, Vince today said they had leadership problems on offense. That's the second offensive coach we've heard in the last month. Get behind the microphone and tell us that. So take that for what you will, but there was obviously some locker room stuff going on there offensively. And so I think there's obviously they're looking for a need there. It's just it's a unique class because there's no tackles.
So let's go to the offense. We'll start with the bad because that is the one thing. Like everybody's going to say, wow, great signing class. Wow, big gets, big home runs. Like you can't talk about this class, though, without mentioning there's no tackles. And they're going to tell you that maybe Abiselm can grow into one and maybe Mark Nave can grow into one. But that's a crapshoot. Like it's a crapshoot recruiting offensive linemen in general.
Yeah, I think let's just start there in the trenches, offensive line. I think Mark Nave and Abiselm are two of the safest bets in this class. Like, they just look like starters to me. I would bet on them being multi-year starters for both of them. But there's no tackles. They have four scholarship tackles on the roster for next year right now.
Yeah,
it's Marcus Cox, who's coming back for his seventh year. It's Cortland Ford, who will be a redshirt senior. It's Nick Hall, who will be a redshirt sophomore and hasn't played.
At all.
And it's Malachi Wood, who's a redshirt freshman, who they're talking up right now, but everyone knew he was a huge developmental prospect.
Like a when they year three. If he's there by year three, then outstanding.
And so that's concerning that was what your room looked like, and you don't add a high school tackle. That is concerning to me. Now, you dig into this just overall crop in 2024, this was a bad tackle class from the top down. You ask any national analyst, they'll tell you that tackle-wise, this is as down as the position has been in a while. And I think there's some tackles in the rankings that are ranked high.
Right.
In another year, they wouldn't. They just have to rank some you can't not have tackles ranked up there. So it's a bad tackle class, but still, you got to find someone somehow or some way. So that's not good. And then offensively, Cutter Bowley is the face of this class, Nick. But I do want to address that he's not, from a ranking standpoint, what we thought.
Yeah, I want to say when they first reclassed, he was 50,
top 100.
50-something, now he's outside of it, 312?
He's in the 300s. 247 dropped him down to a three-star. Cutter threw 24 interceptions the last 2 years at Lexington Christian, total.
That's a lot.
So, the upside, I don't think anything has changed with his upside. Like, if you're pulling out a comp, I would say, the Justin Herbert is kind of the comp. Quarterback that can move, big arm, can make all throws. But, there is, decision-making he's going to have to prove. He's still rail thin. Like, you're going to have to put some... But, everything starts with him, so I want to state that. Like, we thought that would be, the first top 150 recruit since Barker.
Right.
And that ended up not happening. So we'll have to see. Now, I'm not saying they should have moved on or anything.
Right. But that's something you got to be aware of.
I think it's notable.
Yeah. The one thing, though, with Cutter that I do feel like is that translates well to his game is when you watch him play, Will's gotten better at it. I feel like a lot of times Levis felt the pressure. And Cutter does I just think he's got a very good –
I wonder if he needs athletes around him.
Yeah, he really – he Brady Hensley, and that was
it. He's got super run heavy,
you also have to remember, too, part of his star rising was the 7-on-7 stuff with, like, Boo Carter and those guys at NPA.
To me, spring, I really want to see what he looks like in the spring.
Yeah, how much
– system.
Right.
And he should be somewhat familiar with it because he's been living over there at the facility pretty much. So,
he's going to be in the way, on their program.
Kentucky needs him to be their backup. They brought Bo Allen in. Bo Allen's not on this list I'm holding right here. He's not a scholarship player.
He's a walk-on.
So they need him to develop in the QB2. So he's one I'm going to be watching early. Tailback, I think, is notable, Nick. Tavani Mazel blew out his knee back in August.
Three months post-op.
So he didn't play, and he had an odd career because he was a Florida kid. Florida kids move around.
He moved from Fort Lauderdale to the DMV. He was originally committed to Georgia. He was 7-on-7 star because he wound up at running back then as a good pass catcher. Goes to the DMV. Things are a little shaky up there or something like that. Decommits from Georgia.
There's back to South Florida.
Yeah, and then the injury happens, and so, Kentucky goes ahead and picks
him up. And then Jason Patterson led the state of Florida in rushing as a junior. Lower level in Florida, but it's intriguing tailback. And then I think you look at receiver. Harley Gilmore was a reclassification from 25 to 24 as a guy I really like. I think he has wide receiver one potential. And then David Washington is a guy no one's really talking about from Philadelphia, a three-star prospect. I think he's a true slot receiver. I think he's going to come in and plug in there. He's one that he's one we're going to forget about after today. I mean, heck, I think a lot of people have already forgotten about him. but he's not going to arrive till August, so where does he kind of fit in?
Yeah, and Gilmore's already here. Like he's practicing right now as we speak. Got a waiver to be able to play early. So that should help, right, a younger kid.
Yeah.
A guy from one of the most fruitful recruiting grounds in America, the Glades region of Florida, South Central Florida. They got the Rabbit Chasers, right? Like some blue-collar guys that play in the Muck Bowl. The Muck Bowl is world famous. They're playing in the muck. So he's got that dog in him a little bit. Fascinating to see how he fits in, how he takes on all of this.
Yeah.
He's probably drinking with a hose right now, but it's still encouraging that he's at least here early.
Yeah, and I mentioned unique. I think that goes over the defense too, Nick. Like just all the linebacker and tweener types they have.
Okay, all right. I'm going to ask you a question. This is going to be the FanDuel question, FanDuel Sportsbook. You can go and bet Kentucky versus Louisville right now. I saw that opening line, Kentucky minus 15.5. I pulled up my FanDuel app. Smashed! FanDuel, it's America's number one sports book. It's easy to use, very convenient. You can use it all over across Kentucky, whether you're betting bowl season, college basketball. They've got same-game parlays. They got props. They've got everything you need at FanDuel. And when you use promo code PERSONNEL when you sign up, a winning $5 money line wager, it's going to get you $150 in bonus bets. FanDuel.com/personnel. Sign up today and remember that you must be 21 and plus in the state of Kentucky. Let me see.
Non-negotiables.
Yep. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm going to remember that one day, and I'm going to be able to rattle it off, but today is not that day. I hope you all are enjoying my singing, though, if you're listening on podcasts.
It caught me off guard. I was listening to Staples, I think, today or yesterday. I was like, oh.
You like that?
I was not expecting that when
it's the moon. We'll sing Christmas carols for all of our FanDuel ads from now. FanDuel question, like it. All of the tweeners. Let's go through them. Steven Soltz, Antoine Smith, Devin Smith.
Brian Robinson. I think maybe Jerod Smith, potentially.
Jerod Smith. Caleb Redd, maybe. Let's throw a dart.
I even think Quay Sheet Scott. Mark Stoops said corner today, but when I looked at him, I thought safety with kind of nickel where he would be.
So let's throw a dart at the board. Of all of the – let's just do the developmental ones because Smith and Robinson, Scott, we're not going to play. So the other guys, Souls and the Smiths. Well, gosh, the Smiths, that's so confusing. There's so many Smiths. There's four of them.
Antoine,
so
Devin.
Devin, Antoine, Souls. We're going to throw a dart at the board. Which one are you going to hit? All right, this guy, he's going to end up playing significant snaps, maybe a starter.
Devin Smith. I think he fits the mold for highly productive, undersized, well linebacker that they've had a lot of success with.
DeAndre Square.
Sideline to sideline speed, can run, can strike. That's a guy I would bet on.
He had an unusual recruitment because all the big SEC schools were in on him. His top five was Florida, Georgia, or Bama? LSU was the big one at the late that Kentucky beat him out for. But he also didn't get talked about much because he tried to do what the Smith twins did. And
that recruitment heated up at the same time.
As the Smith twins.
And it was in the season.
Yeah. So he tried to do the thing where he was going to announce after his high school game. So it's a Friday night. Kentucky plays the next day. Was that a nooner, too?
It's a Vandy. I was in Nashville.
Yeah. And we're sitting there like, hey, this guy ever going to commit? And then at like 3 in the morning while he was playing Fortnite or one of those video games, he fired off the commitment graphic. So he didn't get talked about a lot at all. Just because of the way that things kind of broke, but There's reason to be excited about it.
And it's so weird because if this is a guy that commits in July, right, and everyone's paying attention, he's probably one of the more popular players in this class.
Yeah, picks Kentucky over LSU, right?
But timing-wise, it was kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit. But he's a guy really high on. I think he's going to be a player here. He's a guy I kind of wish he was going to be here for the spring, just to see him out there, just to get an eye on him in spring ball. But he won't be here until the summer. But he's a guy.
So weird now that you're in the minority when you're not an early enrollee.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Times are changing.
But I mean, Cam. Let's go through the list here. Cam Dooley, Jacob Cowie, the kicker.
Cowie. Is there a more perfect name for somebody from the Dutton Ranch?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good, I have to say.
Vince. So, did you go out to Montana? I ain't going to Montana. He had to follow it up by, like, if there's a guy in Japan we want, we'll send somebody. It's just not going to be me. I'd love to go to Montana.
Oh, yeah. That's
it sounds.
Montana, Wyoming, they're on the list.
I've got a brother-in-law's brother. He's a fishing guy out in Montana. So, if you're going out to Helena, I think that's home station, you need a fishing guide. Hit me up on Twitter. I'll show you the way. I would rather do the golf course, though, that Brady and them played. Where they got that one where you just hit it and it rolls down the mountain. I want to just have that moment where it's like,
they have some of the, like, par sevens out there with, like, 800, 900 yards.
And it's in the altitude. He hit a 75-yarder when he was messing around, but I think the altitude helped a little bit. Just a little.
Yeah. You know, I'm pretty deep in the weeds and the football stuff, but you asked me to evaluate kickers. I just
kick it.
Kick ball hard. Split the pipes, baby. That's what we come here to do. Then Tovani Mizell, Martin Nave, Caleb Redd, Willie Rodriguez, Quay Sheet Scott, Devin Smith. Those are your guys that will not be here till the summer. Everyone else will be here in December. Which is kind of – this whole thing's kind of weird, though, because they announced this class, but – they can still add more guys in February, and they're just going to add transfers all throughout the offseason.
Curious when you get to your scholarship count post-bowl game when we have more guys enter the portal. I would imagine two or three announced departures after the bowl game.
Yeah.
So curious where their numbers are going to be, but that's something that this process, we've got to play it out, right? One person who I think some people thought could be a part of this class, we got buzzed twice about him, but nothing happened, was DeCarlos Nicholson. Maybe they decide to add him down the road when they feel like their numbers are good enough. But he officially visited. We were preparing for a commitment. Yeah. That didn't happen. And then today, there was a little whispers that that might happen. It did not. So that's still out there. Mentioned early enrollees. Let's talk about playing time, guys. These are guys you're going to see at Kroger Field. We've mentioned it, but like let's make the actual list like it. This guy's playing next year.
Year one.
2024, their number's going to be on the football field. Who do we got?
Yeah.
Outside of transfers, of course.
Cutter Bowley back up, so if something happened.
He would go in.
He's okay. Going to get reps, though, in games. Let's see here.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Harley Gilmore, I don't think so.
No. Maybe the kicker?
Kicker, yeah.
Maybe.
Nichols, yes.
To Ron Nichols, that kid's impressive. And especially after Phillips went out, you mentioned it on one of these shows that about Dunn, it felt like you saw improvement from those guys, and that's kind of taken from their developmental aspect of it. But he's a different cat. He's not built. He's not like just the big body zone eater, right? Like,
yeah. Well, Mike Edwards comp today from Vince Marion, I thought that was notable.
Yeah.
If he can come in and play nickel, right away, that will be significant. This guy's high-level producer, returned kicks for touchdowns, returned punts for touchdowns in high school. When I watched this tape, Nick, I thought a guy who was really comfortable playing off coverage, has good spatial awareness and feel for the game,
he's
high IQ.
Great feel for the game.
So you talk about a zone team, and a lot of that is just have
instincts. Yeah, that feel for it.
He's got rock solid instincts. I can see he's going to play.
When we were at I was up at Withrow High School for his commitment. I believe you were out.
I was on vacation. Kid
or vacation or something like that. But after the interview, we were talking about one of his play, and like this kid just was like, he could talk ball all day. Yeah. And I think there's a couple guys that are similar that they're really high on. That are built from that mold, and that's what works well for this defense.
Yeah, so he's a guy who had heavy interest from a lot of people. Michigan wanted him. Penn State was in on him. Ohio State was kicking the tires, but not necessarily soft kick. We're giving him a good strike. So he's going to be a guy that's going to play. Jason Patterson, I think, is one to watch for. The two backs, he would be the most likely to play. He's an early enrollee, too. So
they need one of Patterson, Mizell, or Wilcox. Like
talking up Jamarian Wilcox a lot here, and since the end of towards the end of his last season and throughout the bowl prep.
I'm still a little hesitant though. Like I don't know. I want to see it. I was buying the stocks last year. I'm not selling them, but I'm like, we're gonna keep an eye on this. Oh.
Mr. Drew Franklin here.
Oh, Drew. Welcome to the podcast, Drew. Cutter Bowley is going to sign right now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
I think he already signed on the piece of paper. It's a blank sheet of paper. What do you think he's going to do with that blank sheet of paper? We should get it, keep it.
Put it in the bar, hang it in the bar?
Yeah. Really happens.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea. But I guess we can keep going down this list. Willie Rodriguez is going to have Kamari Anderson.
Yeah. Just briefly, it's going to be a very small snippet, but we're going to get some big Willie energy at some point next fall.
Quayshon Scott, bare minimum, is going to play special teams.
Yeah, yeah. I hope he's like Nasir Addison and just fighting people on kickoff.
So, I mean, they're really excited about him over there. We'll see just how it works out because he isn't arriving until the summer. But he's definitely going to have some type of role this season. Let's see here.
Smith twins,
hell yes.
Yeah, Brian Robinson, hell yes.
And then I wouldn't be surprised Devin Smith, kind of special teams role.
Okay, so that's about six or seven, and it's crazy that most of them are on defense. Like, normally it was like a plug-and-play, like, receiver, you're fast, run, right?
Yeah,
like,
you Barry just got, on day. You got the three linemen, that's Otto Richard.
Right.
Offensive line. You got a kicker in here. Mizell's coming off a major knee injury.
Yeah.
Right. So what is he – where is he at? We don't really know. Caleb Red is just in a loaded position room.
Yeah.
So you figure he's going to be a redshirt candidate. Antoine Smith, I think, is very much a developmental prospect. So that seems like a redshirt guy. And then Steven Soles, I mean, we'll see. That's the whole class there.
It's a pretty darn good one, though. I'm going to ask you one more question. This is a game time question. Lucky, you're going to use game time tomorrow.
I'm looking into it, yes. Cat's cards in the chicken bucket.
The chum bucket. It's pretty easy. You just get your phone out, you game time, beep, beep, boop, boop, and then you...
Don't call me Freedom Hall.
Yeah. Look up the ticket. Oh, here's my seat. I'm going to get this one. Boom. And you click it again. Get. Boom. Ticket on your phone. It is the best place for last-minute tickets. It's right there on your phone. It's simple. The tickets arrive on your phone. No weird transactions. If you need to buy them and transfer them to your friends, it's very easy. Game time, it's so convenient. The best place for tickets. You know, you haven't got a Christmas gift yet? Buy your kid tickets to the Gator Bowl, right? The best like one of my favorite Christmas presents ever was Kentucky Austin Peay at Freedom Hall.
I got Kentucky Syracuse Music City Bowl Christmas. Oh. Tickets for Christmas one year. That was awesome.
Oh, the James Whalen game.
Yeah.
But tickets, they're easy. They're affordable at game time, too. They'll give you the best deals. They'll give last-minute deals, 10% off a lot of times. And you're going to get $20 off when you use the promo code KSR at game time. GameTime.co. Download the Game Time app. Promo code KSR, $20 off that first purchase with our friends at Game Time. Our boy LL Cool John's going to use them. Shout out LL Cool John. Great Twitter. Tweeterer.
Friend of the program.
Probably going to be pounding some beers in Jacksonville.
And Nick, I do want to, speaking of Florida, Jalen Farmer transfer.
Yep.
Interesting ad for me, really. You just loaded up on guard in the last transfer class. You got a couple guards in this class.
Yeah.
So what are you bringing him in for? It's the Brian Windhorst meme, right? He does not play at Florida. He's got 3 years of eligibility left, but he is a guy they closely evaluated in high school.
So they like him.
So there's something there. Are you bringing him in to start, maybe? You know, like, that's going to be one, I think, to watch closely in the spring, where he's at.
Well, do you worry about the guard play they currently have to?
Right.
Like, that's,
yeah.
You know.
You bringing him in to play over one of the incumbents.
Yeah, a Jagger or something like that. So, I don't know. We'll have to pay close attention. Speaking of Florida, CJ Wagway signed yet? Do we?
Not yet.
Oh, man.
Everyone's saying he is going to sign.
That they're saying it. Has he done it? Look, folks, if you're on KSR Plus, just for the love of God, the membership alone is worth just going and reading Gators Online message board. They are having a rough day. Why are we even got Billy around here? It is a tough time around there. This is a great day for a lot of programs. Bad day for Sunbelt Billy. My guy is just taking those L's. They lost the dude to Miami, a top 100 guy.
And LJ McCray, I think is his name. 5-star is not signing, pushing off. So that's a guy they're going to have to keep fighting for into February.
Tough. It's real tough.
But Florida's, they were the king of July recruiting. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Kentucky is not the king of July recruiting.
No.
Or not the king of June recruiting. They've moved slow now, I think, 3 classes in a row, and they're signing top 30 classes.
We're having these summer podcasts where it's like, oh, man, they're going to start doing something. They're behind again. And then here it is, signing day. Things are going pretty well.
Yeah, so I do think they deserve some benefit of the doubt when we kind of – when it's May and June.
Let's bookmark this peak. We'll save this clip.
Now, there's some positions where it's like, hey, what are you doing now? Like,
go get a tackle. We need tackles.
Right. So that's the biggest issue with the program is tackle recruiting as of right now. But they deserve some benefit of the doubt. And then I think, Nick, just overall from a portal operation standpoint, there's going to be some nitpicking you can do. Like, edge and corner are the two big, I think, positions in – the fan base right now that there's a lot of concern regarding.
Yeah.
And so what do they do there?
They've recruited it well, but those guys now they got some star power.
Yeah.
But the rankings don't matter as much as the productivity.
But they've got 6 guys and 5 of them rank inside the On3 top 100 as of right now. Jalen Farmer is the only one, I believe, to fall outside of that. Brock Vandegrift has a lot to prove, but everyone's excited about him for the obvious reasons. Jamin Dumas Johnson might have the highest floor of any player in the transfer portal. You're adding one of the best linebackers in the country on your roster. Chip Trainum played for Ohio State, was a productive tailback at Arizona State and Ohio State. He's going to bring a high floor, I think, bare minimum, to the offense. Jamore Macklin was an all-conference player in the American. 1,000-plus yard receiver.
An All-American, one might say.
there you go. A bunch of big schools wanted him. A&M was involved. LSU was involved. And Kentucky landed him. They're doing some good – they do a pretty good job, I think, in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And so from a recruiting
– I think there's a good balance, too, where they're not like – we're not getting all portal, but we're going to get some big names to supplement some quality – like, there's legit star power in both the high school and transfer portal.
Just the general overall recruiting operation. I think there's some frustration in how they operate sometimes. But they you have to give them a benefit of the doubt. They're doing a good job. I don't think roster building is a problem for this program. They're going to enter the season with a top 25 roster. And at Kentucky, that's really all you can ask for.
Yeah, now it comes down to execution. And that's where we spend all the –
nailing the quarterback position, number one. Kentucky, we talked about culture. Kentucky cannot win with an iffy culture.
Yeah.
So they have admitted there was some type of leadership culture, whatever buzzword you want to use, issues on offense. You can't have that long term. That has to be fixed. But just going down and looking at the personnel, I think, on the team, there's reasons to believe in this group. And I think you have to give them credit for how they've kind of gone about their business. And I think a big thing, Nick, is they operate and they believe in what they're doing. And that holds a lot of weight to me. They have a process and they follow that. And I think that process led them to getting some good players in this class.
We do need to shout out to some specific individuals too. Mark Stoops, he got a lot of guff for his pony up. Well, he thanked people for ponying up without using that word, but that matters, right? So your contributions to the 15 club, they notice it. It matters. It helps them on the back end. I think the individual recruiting efforts, like if Quasheed Scott turns into a ball player, then you've got to commend Chris Collins for coming into his own. Because they need to have guys outside of Vince Mero getting starters. And this is I think this is Vince's best class.
Yeah.
Like not only is it you got the top five players in the state of Kentucky, you got two top 10 guys from Ohio, and I was going through it. It's like 10 guys, and really the only person who didn't become a consistent multi-year starter was like Jatan McClain, Lynn Bowden, CJ Conrad. Darian Kennard, right? Alex Afari. Those are your top 10 gets from the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
Tyrion Nichols, Brian Robinson. Like, these guys are going to be ball players. And if Mark Nay becomes a starter like you think he is, like, that, like, would you be shocked if there's a chance that every single one, like, his hit rate might be 100% this class, which is – you're hoping to get it 60%.
Let's just run down Vince's guys. We might miss a couple, but let's just run down some of them. Nay, former Ohio State commit, guy I really like.
We can throw Chip Traynham in there.
Huge physical.
Yep.
Yeah, you can throw Chip Traynham in there, proven running back. Nichols, we talked about.
Yeah.
Really good recruiting win.
B-Rob.
Held off Tennessee to get Willie Rodriguez, number one tight end on Kentucky's board.
Yeah.
There's a lot to like about Willie Rodriguez. Selm might be my favorite player in this class.
Florida tried like hell, too.
Was what I was going to say. Florida got involved there. Kentucky held on to him with really relative ease. The Smith twins, dude, they flipped him from Michigan.
Yeah.
Flipped him from Jim Harbaugh.
Tennessee, Michigan, Florida. These are who Vince is beating out for recruits.
Yeah. And then I think, shout out Chris Collins, I think he had a really good cycle. Like, you really have to give them credit for finding Quasheed Scott. Pulling the committable offer, getting him on. They got him on camp. He was one of those camp guys. Get him on camp. Oh, this guy can play.
Yeah.
Let's trust our eyes. Let's ride with him. And then they get him in early. And that's why they won the recruitment, because they took the commitment.
Early. Oh, and when they took that commitment, like, I cannot overstate to you all how shocked I was. Like, Zach's texted us. I'm like, who the hell is Quasheed Scott? Like, what are they taking this guy for? And turns out, dude's a ball player. So, like, that I'm happy to be wrong. I'm happy to admit I was wrong. That was a great eval.
Yeah, and then Devin Smith, I've talked about him. I'm a big fan of him. Quavo Marshall, we didn't really talk about, but he kind of fits the length and the corner they like. I think he needs some development, but if he hits, that could be a really good player here. So, I think Collins, I think he had a good side.
Yeah, and it's just important because, like, when Kentucky really went on that hot streak, you saw John Sumrall picking up starters, right? Like, you need a high quantity guy like Vince, and then some other people to go find quality players. Maybe they're not all hits, but you got to find starters elsewhere. That you can't just go the same blueprint. You got to change things up. I'm curious how the addition of Dykeel Shorts, his presence in Texas. Jay Boulware's got a history in Texas. You know, Boulware, he was responsible for his running backs and the specialists. So,
I've got a hot take on that. I don't think Kentucky's going to be doing much Texas.
Yeah, but there's so many players like it. Come on.
I mean, we'll see. But, I'm interested to see Shorts. Like, he's from New Jersey, right? He's familiar with the Mid-Atlantic. To me, that's probably where he's going to go.
And Brad's already up there. So, like, yeah, kind of makes sense. Maybe he gets some Pittsburgh guys.
Scott Woodward was, you know, they were hanging around in Philadelphia, right?
House David Ramsey's Washington Jr.
David Washington's from Philadelphia. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him sneak up there and into Jersey. Nasir Addison.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to me, that's where he's probably going to go.
Okay.
But we'll see. That's just a Luckett hunch there.
Well, you heard it here first from Mr. Luckett. I don't know about you. The coffee's starting to wear out. It's been a long I'm not even going to say a few days. A long few weeks. So, do we miss anything?
I think we touched on everyone.
We talked about all of the transfers.
Again, the transfer situation is fluid. Visits can start back up January 3rd. So expect to hear some new names before this portal cycle closes. But for now, I think the book is closed. February. Do they add someone in February?
Just transfers. I think just transfers and be an offensive tackle.
Okay. Now it's time to go get ready for Clemson.
I mean, Stoops, it's so funny when we have these bowl prep media ops, and it's like, Clemson, they're like, they're good.
I'm not going to lie, going to those were hard this week because I'm like, I feel like I'm wasting my time here. I'm trying to get ready for this big recruiting day.
Well, I mean, they're even admitting it out loud. Yeah. Like, our game plan is not our normal game plan. Like, we're not preparing for Clemson. Like, we are, but it's the QCs. And even the QCs, like, they got to be hitting, like, there's not – their resources are in roster building because that's more important, right?
It starts now because it's a dead period now. Yeah. Now you can kind of dig in here. And that's why they want to have the later bowl games as possible so they have time to catch up.
Yeah, but I still want to go to Vegas once. Like, come on. It'd be fun. Vegas Bowl this weekend?
Yeah.
Do we already have it?
This weekend.
Man, Saturday. Shout out to Scooter's Coffee for doing the Scooter's Iced Coffee Dump on Jeff Traylor. Jeff Traylor stayed at UTSA. Good for him.
He did. I think Arkansas and A&M were the two for him. And A&M, obviously.
When Elko.
And he moved on, and Arkansas didn't open up. So he's going to meet there in the American.
And Bobby, he's staying there. So he ain't going nowhere. Shout out Jared Parker. 3 out of 4 Troy head coaches are Kentucky grads.
The Kentucky pipeline, man.
It's awesome, though. It's like a Kentucky G5 program we get to root for every year. So that's a lot of fun. But yeah, we're going to get the hell out of here. We're a little tired. It's been a long day, long week, long weeks. As Ryan Day said, at first beer is going to be awfully cold. So, Luckett, great job. Great job, team. Great job, everyone. Thanks for following along. It's been a pleasure. We'll see y'all before too long. If we don't see you before then, yeah, Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Happy holidays. We'll talk to you soon. Go Cats and go Kroger.